Okay, our Bible reading comes from Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves me, loves life, and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord.
So, emotions. Who has them? They are complex, but very, very real. So looking up some resources that are, that help organise different emotions, one apparently well-known theory is the discrete or basic theory of emotion. It's called basic, as it's believed that emotions are basic because they stem from the concept of fundamental basic life tasks and our response to them, or as a result of them, like survival mode, flight or fight principle, for example. So the list of emotions from this discrete theory included enjoyment, sadness, fear, anger, and disgust. So since beginning to look deeper into this subject, I see that it's not as simple as I hoped it would be. I know humans are very complex, but trying to get a basic understanding of this is important, as these emotions impact us more than we realise. Who knows that circumstances have a huge impact on our emotions? Being tired, hungry, hormonal, and especially past experiences. They can affect us more than we like. Titles are given to these emotions now, like post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, or complex PTSD, or ADHD, OCD. I don't want to belittle these conditions, but I want to emphasize that feelings are very primitive, primal, one could say, and they have a big influence on our behaviours and motivations. If you're hungry, you go and get something to eat. If you're happy, you smile, etc. And if you're sad, you might cry or retreat. I do wonder today, though, that our emotions are trying to be dampened down or controlled. We are too busy to take the time to respond properly to our emotions. We have a fear of man. Society tries to tell us how we should behave. We must be tolerant of each other, and we can't possibly disagree with a way of life that may be contrary to our belief. The world can have a numbing impact on us. There's many voices and governances telling us messages that are contrary to God or devoid of God. And our message is changing to make God more palatable to people for fear of offending them, or perhaps God is just overreacting to our sin. It's all about the here and now, and it's about fitting into the demands of society, complying, pleasing the minority, and making sure we please self. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe." So I don't want to get political, but I do wonder where our true emotions have gone. When you see the extreme emotions that are currently in the news, it makes you feel that a tone down for these people is vital. These particular nations are notorious for emotions and are very passionate in both love and hate. Like I've said, emotions are driving motivators for action. We have seen actions driven from hate in the last week or two in Israel. What a motivation hate has been in this situation. But I would now like to focus on an emotion or driving force that in the confusion of this world is being lost or misconstrued: fearing the Lord. For the unbeliever, the fear of God is the fear of judgment from God and eternal death. Without the fear of the Lord, the driving fear or emotions proceeds from Satan. It holds us back from obeying God, and it drives us away from God. It's more like a religious fear. It is tormenting, causing stressful emotions and a lack of faith. It is taught by men, not God. It is very superficial because it may well affect our conduct, but doesn't change our heart. This is noted in Isaiah 29:13. "Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honour me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men." Faith and fear cannot exist together. Our deliverance from fear and worry is by faith, and faith is a gift and a fruit of the Spirit. Romans 10:17 tells us also that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The fear of the Lord for believers is different. Yes, it is a motivation. It is acknowledging God and his awesomeness, but it also includes not letting anything come before the Lord God in our lives, specifically keeping the first commandment, which is to have God as number one in our life and putting nothing else before him. The concept of God has changed since I was little. The Lord is more these days seen as being our buddy, the big guy upstairs. Very loving and tolerant, forgiving, and maybe more like a daddy. Like when we were toddlers or children, daddy was there handing out whatever we needed and protecting us. These images are not entirely wrong. The problem is, if we don't fear the Lord in the way Scripture advises us to, we lose the motivation and emotional drive to please the Lord, and we lose peace. Instead, we're more obliged to please the world rather than pleasing the Lord, because surely he will understand. He does understand. He actually lived on this earth too. The fear of the Lord was a part of the life of Jesus. The fear of the Lord is actually one of the aspects of the Holy Spirit. I was surprised to learn that fearing God was a spirit concept. But on the other hand, the opposite to fearing the Lord and being controlled by demonic fear is a spirit-driven concept as well, although an inferior spirit, and if we allow, has no part in our lives and should not be feared. But getting back to this Holy Spirit concept, there are seven aspects of the Holy Spirit mentioned in Isaiah. So let's read it in Scripture, in Isaiah 11, 1 to 2. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." There's your seven. Never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. And to continue in verse 3a, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. This particular aspect or character is evident in Jesus' life on earth in the flesh, like when at Gethsemane, as he put the Father's will first. In Hebrews 5, 7 to 8, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He set aside his own will in favour of the Father's will. So Jesus had the Spirit, and guess what? We have been given the Holy Spirit as well. Jesus promised his disciples that when he went back to his Father, he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He says in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Ephesians 5:18 instructs us to be filled with the Spirit. When we have the Spirit, which we need to seek and pray for every day, we should show resulting character traits or fruit. Galatians 5:22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Paul lists the lusts of the flesh in the preceding verses in 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, and revelries. And the like of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we follow the Ten Commandments, we actually have the fear of the Lord worked out, with the first commandment being number one priority. Hence, it's number one. So never putting anything else before God, or even on level or on par with God. Jesus shows us this in his conduct. If Jesus needed the fear of the Lord and the Holy Spirit imparts the fear of God, how much more do we need it? The early church, who was a part of the Spirit outpouring, we do know that they suffered a period of persecution from Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, and other means as well over the time. But they did enter a time of peace in Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified or built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. In this fear of the early church, we see the balance between two things, the fear of the Lord and the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit. When these two things are combined, three things resulted. First, the church had peace. Second, they were edified or built up. And third, they grew in numbers. The New Testament also advises the believers how to behave and to treat one another as fellow believers. We are to be respectful to one another, to be kind, etc. So Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Be thankful to the Lord in all things and don't think more highly of yourself than you should. So if we don't submit to one another, then we're not walking in the fear of the Lord. We also know via many verses in Scripture that the fear of the Lord is where wisdom begins. There is no other way that God's wisdom can come into our lives but through the fear of the Lord. So this is not intellect, although our intellect can be enhanced by God's wisdom. Out of wisdom proceeds understanding. And in Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Understanding in the original Hebrew form means insight into the real nature and essence of a person's situation. And again, note here, there's a reference to the Lord's commandments. We cannot forget them. If we truly want to fear the Lord, we can't forget them. So I hope you don't see this motivating force like a whip driving you into action out of a natural fear. Like if you can't swim, you wouldn't jump into a deep water hole. That's like a natural fear. It's a safety mechanism, really. But we should more so be driven to fear the Lord because we love him and we want to please him because of what he's done for us. Peter puts it like this in 1 Peter 1:17-19. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning herein, the fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So be mindful that we were bought with a price and that one day we will face judgment, not of condemnation, but more like an evaluation of our lives, what we have done with our talents and gifts for the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, we will give an account of ourselves to God of the things done in body, whether good or bad. We shouldn't forget this despite knowing our sins are forgiven when we repent. Sorry. So to conclude, emotions are primal and an important part to our motivational drive. The fear of man keeps us from walking in righteousness. The most important emotion is the fear of the Lord. This fear is spiritually driven and divinely given. Jesus himself showed the fear of the Lord in action, how putting his fleshly desire and will aside, did the will of the Father with the ultimate example, laying down his life for us. Without the fear of the Lord, we are open to demonic fear, which holds us back from obeying God. It can divert us to a religious fear, which is taught by man and promotes superficial conduct. It's like whitewashed tombs. In this example, Jesus speaks of the beautiful tombs cleaned on the outside, but inside they're full of rotting corpses, dead men's bones, and all uncleanness. The fear of the Lord is life. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. The Holy Spirit was sent for us and can help us truly have the fear of the Lord. In our scripture reading today in Psalm 34:11, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord was a part of the early church, which when combined with the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, provided peace, built them up, and multiplied the church. We also know that the fear of the Lord establishes wisdom in our lives, blessings, and life. Look through the Psalms and Proverbs of all the blessings and joy in fearing the Lord brings. When we strive to seek joy on our own terms, partying, etc., It's a shallow joy. It's not lasting. Only through the fear of the Lord can true lasting joy be released. So let's apply this to our lives. Cultivate the fear of God. One, ask Him. Ask for the Holy Spirit to give us the fear of God, along with the other manifestations of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Two, expose ourselves to God's word. And three, live with conscious awareness of the Lord's presence. He is everywhere. And be guided by the Ten Commandments, especially number one. They actually are a gift of the Lord, and if followed, truly provide peace and joy. So this is a start. It's a conscious decision every day. Is there anyone here today that would like to seek afresh the fear of the Lord? Please stay behind after the closing song, and Peter and others, if they feel led, can join in with you to begin afresh the fear of the Lord.